Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short
the
routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception Perception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Kell, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception Perception, the show. All right, Matt. Before we start, we should say that we were recording on Monday. And then literally, minutes after we were done recording, the A.J. Brown thing hit. So I had to, issue a statement before our last episode. Like, no, we didn't miss it. Don't worry. I know we're the wide receiver show, but no, we didn't miss it. It just came out after. Anyways, A.J. Brown gets traded finally. It's the least secret rumor in the NFL. A.J. Brown getting traded to New England. They trade a 2030 first round pick or something. Like, they're not going to see a first round pick until, you know, the next president or something. I don't know. It's crazy. But so they kick that can way down the road. But still, they still get a first round pick for A.J. Brown. What was your thought? What was your reaction when you first heard about the trade becoming official?
Well, I mean, we've known this was happening for a while, which is why. By the way, just to let us off the hook from a recording schedule standpoint, we record every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We wrap up around 2:30 p.m. Eastern. So it was like 2 hours after.
Oh, okay.
It was like 2 hours, not minutes.
You're right.
And again, because we've known this was happening for the Myles Garrett thing, that was crazy. That broke lives.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah.
Which apparently that has actually been in the works for a while. Not shocking considering the contract and everything there. But anyways, point being, we've known the A.J. Brown thing was coming. Okay. What we didn't really know was the compensation, but we knew it was, I mean, I'm pretty sure I said on this show in March, at the end of March, are we sure there's not just a handshake backdoor deal to send A.J. Brown to the New England Patriots on June 1st? Literally, I mean, you know, not shout out to me here again, because this was obvious, but I was early on this thing, that this thing was coming on June 1st.
It finally
happens. And so now I think we can really unpack it, especially because the charting profile is up on the site for A.J. Brown. So I think that the compensation here actually, which as you mentioned, is a 2028 first round pick and a fifth round pick in 2027. It was pretty clear that the Patriots didn't want to give up a first this year. And they felt like giving up a first down the line was a little bit more palatable. It's still a first round pick though. Like, they will still not be picking in the 2028 first round. All right. So still they're getting a first round pick here, are the Eagles. And I think that it sounds like Howie Roseman really wanted to hold out for a first, not like, all right, let's take a 27 second. No. So they wanted a first, but still it's some level theoretically down of a compensation. And I think that informs what should be our expectations here going in with A.J. Brown, is that I don't think that the Patriots are expecting to get prime peak A.J. Brown. And let's be clear when I say that, prime peak A.J. Brown is a top 3 to 5 receiver in the NFL.
Right.
I do not think that AJ Brown will be a top 3 to 5 receiver in the NFL this year for the New England Patriots. That's just my read on it based on what he was last year, which we will unpack here, and the fact that he is a 29-year-old receiver. He'll turn 29 later this month. A 29-year-old receiver with a long history of lower body injuries. I mean, this is a guy who he was talking about this after they won the Super Bowl in the 2024 season, that he was getting his knee drained twice every week leading up to, like, throughout that season.
Well, that doesn't sound fun.
No, it does not. He came into the NFL with chronic knee issues. It's a part of his journey. Now, he has obviously been able to not just play through that, but he's been able to thrive while being that player. Everything just gets a little difficult with time and with age, as we all can attest to here. I mean, he dealt with hamstring injuries last year, and I'll talk about this when we get into the profile, but I think we can make an argument that he was an incredibly diminished version of himself in the first half of last year prior to the Eagles' Week 9 bye while playing through hamstring injuries. So again, I think that's just the risk here that we should acknowledge. You know this about me, James. I say it all the time. Receiver aging and decline and age cliffs and curves is like my least favorite and yet favorite discussion to kind of have about the position, because I love talking about it because I'm a dork, but I also hate talking about it because, one, it's kind of obviously sad. We want these guys to be able to be awesome forever. And then two, because there's no real rules here. Sometimes we see guys go right off the cliff, and sometimes we see guys decline and age gracefully. And how that goes with AJ Brown, obviously, we shall see here in 2026.
A huge drop off across the board. When we take a look at the overall numbers, 69% success rate versus man, a 73% success rate versus zone. My mind can't even comprehend this this drop off. That's a 10-point drop off in terms of success rate versus man coverage, and an 8-point drop off when we're taking a look at his zone success rates. And again, 73% versus zone. Oh my goodness gracious, that's 16th percentile. That's not what we want. And again, if you guys are follow the work, you know, we want to see 70% versus man, 80% versus zone. And he's still somewhat in that ballpark for the man score, but man, that zone number has dropped off. But again, a 10-point drop off in man coverage scores. Matt, this is a huge drop off for a player. This is, again, year over year. This is not looking 2 years from 2 years ago or 3 years ago. No, this is from 2024 to 2025, a massive drop off for AJ Brown.
Yeah. And I mean, again, this is the drop off is from being one of the best receivers in the NFL. AJ Brown, like, I honestly hope I'm wrong about everything that I'm saying here. I want to be incorrect in my fear and just like the level of concern I would have about this. And again, I think the Patriots are acknowledging that risk by not giving up a 2027 for like a first and a third round pick, or, you know, what you would typically give up for an elite top five receiver. That's not what they gave up. That's not the compensation here. In addition to the fact that, like, the Rams, this is from Jeff McClain, who covers the Eagles, the Rams were in on the AJ Brown trade. Remember, this was reported, and then they got out because of what they saw in the medical report. That's the reporting according to Jeff McClain. Like, the Eagles were concerned with how he might age over the next 2 to 3 years. So it's, again, I want to be wrong, and like, we get top five receiver in the NFL AJ Brown again this coming season, because he's one of my favorite receivers of this last era. Like, reception perception has been pointing to this guy being elite way before he was even producing those stats, to the point that from 2020 to 2024, AJ Brown averaged a 78.9% success rate versus man coverage and an 82.9% success rate versus press. Like, those are truly, truly, truly elite numbers, incredible, best in the league type deal. And once he got to Philadelphia, he actually cranked his success rate versus zone up consistently over 81% in those first few years with the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, again, I think slamming the door shut on the fact that this guy was a top five receiver in the NFL, top three.
I would, top three in that, like, you know, 4 year, 5 year stretch. Oh, top three, definitely in that conversation, just because he was so dominant physically.
Yeah.
You know, not only from a, you know, skills perspective, right? Like not only from a technique perspective, but just physically imposing his will
right.
on games. For sure, he's in that conversation of, you know, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, top three in the league, for sure. There's no question. I do believe,
and that's
though,
the concern,
Matt,
though, James, right? Like when we're talking about his archetype of player aging, right?
Okay.
Because, like, one example I would point to is Dez Bryant, right? When Dez Bryant, when he it was done.
Great comp.
Like, I brought up Allen Robinson in the profile, and we just, and the only reason I brought up him is because honestly, I'm still wearing the scars of like getting that situation super wrong. All right. Like there was a decline in his profile, his final years, his final year in Chicago. And I was like, well, maybe he was pissed off. He wasn't really happy with the Bears. He didn't really give him a contract extension, blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe he was just a little unmotivated or whatever. Or it was just a blip. You know, Justin Fields, this was a messy situation, right? Like, I kind of ignored the warning signs. He goes to the Rams, and it was over. So I'm sorry to, like, bring up bad reception perception history because I got that one wrong. So I brought that up in the profile. And also, he was a 29-year-old who declined early because he had a history of lower body injuries. But, again, we're talking about, like, these physical overwhelming presences. I think Dez Bryant is an even, like, more informative example as a guy that
– perfect example. You
know, was Dez, like, the greatest technician in the entire world? No. But he was, like, this overwhelming physical specimen. And when he was really, his 2014 season is still on the site. Like, it's in the historic databases. It's like an elite season. And even like the season before, 2016, that was another awesome season for him. His 2017 number, huge dip. And it was, and like, obviously it was over. He didn't sign till November of that season after the Cowboys let him go. And then he tore his Achilles with the Saints, and it was just done for Dez. But like Brown, I don't think is, like, I think Brown is a better technician than Dez. So, like, we'll talk about that as his game ages. But I just think that's, like, important to bring up when we're talking about, like, the archetype of receiver here and why, like, it can go quickly and go early for some of these guys. I don't think Brown is, like, Dez in that way. I think he's a better, like, route runner and technician than that. But just want to throw that out there.
I think what you're presenting – the listeners out there, and certainly in your writing here, is, I think, very different than what the mainstream or common thought on A.J. Brown is. And shoot, we posted, Reception Perception posted about A.J. Brown, and just go read the comments. I mean, literally everyone does not believe that A.J. that was a decline from A.J. Brown. There's not a single comment out there that thinks that this can't be solved and fixed going to 2026. That's why I'm saying what you are saying right now and what you wrote in your profile, I think, is very much in the minority. It's a very vocal minority. Don't get me wrong here. But I think you're very much in the minority in saying that he did not phone in his 2025 season, right? That it wasn't, yes, he may have been upset with his situation, but that does not cover everything that has been covered in terms of a route by route situation here. I think I'm getting that right in what you're saying here. And I know for sure the public sentiment is that, man, he's going to go to New England. He's going to get his mind right. Coach is going to move him around, and we're going to see dominant A.J. Brown again because he absolutely did phone in his 2025. I think that's the popular sentiment, is it not, Matt, that everyone believes that he truly, honestly did not care about 2025, and then in 2026, he's going to get his head screwed on right, and he's going to be super engaged and going to help the New England Patriots get back to the Super Bowl.
Well, I think there's two separate things there. One, you mentioned the move around point. We'll come back to that and like why that, I think they can help AJ Brown in that way.
Yeah.
And there's no question that, like, I mean, did you see AJ the other day at the press conference? Like, I know this isn't heaven, but you know, it's like he's clearly, he's got like a,
why do wide receivers do this? This is such a wide receiver move, man. Like,
he's got like a, possibly, you know, allegedly, this is what the streets are saying, AI edited version of like himself in a Patriots jersey when he was a kid. And, you know, he did the interview with Maria Taylor, and he's got like New England Patriots fan cave rug.
Yep.
And apparently he's always been a Patriots fan. He was super despondent when the Patriots didn't draft him. They drafted N'Keal Harry, great pick, by the way, in 2019. When we're talking about Patriots, you know, draft misses. And I've missed on Patriots draft pick receivers too. So Patriots fans can just feel free to not even listen to what I'm saying about wide receivers. That's fine. But anyways, point being here, I think to the idea that he phoned it in last year, it's so mainstream that I'm like, okay, prove it. Who has he said, like, yeah, I was phoning that shit in? I mean, you have no idea. That is a total and complete guess. Maybe it's correct. Okay, like maybe that's true, So, and, but there, it's still like what reception perception is showing you. What I am telling you is that the film last year didn't look like previous seasons. So I think that's like the idea here is, okay, did he phone it in? I have no idea. And by the way, neither do all of you out there who are just like saying this as fact. That's what's like almost borderline annoying to me that people are just like, well, it was fun. You have no idea. You're totally guessing that. I mean, this guy's been reading freaking books on the sideline dating back to a couple of seasons ago when he's putting up the best numbers in the league in reception perception. He was number one in success rate versus man coverage in 2024.
On sideline, reading books. Yep.
Then he just decided, oh, no, now I don't know. Again, maybe he was loafing it on a few routes here and there. I don't think it was all game. To me, that's nuts. By the way, like, and I know that there's like the popular example is, and I've said this on social media, but obviously the popular example to what I'm about to say is literally another Patriots veteran acquisition, Randy Moss. People are like,
a lot of comps.
I can't attest to whether Randy Moss was phoning it in with the Raiders in 2006 because I was a sophomore in high school. So like, I don't know, but I just can't remember many examples where we said like, oh, that guy was phoning it in. And then like next season he comes back and he's the best version of himself. I usually think the truth is like somewhere in the middle. Right.
I think Randy Moss might be the only example, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't know. Other people have said other examples. I'm like, I don't remember seeing that guy like loafing it, or like I said, the Allen Robinson thing, that was a popular thought at the time. Well, he was just like not happy with the Bears last year. They didn't want to give him a contract extension. Well, we got to the Rams and it was done. So I don't know. Anyways, but the other thing I was just say to that too, there is at least one thing if you're looking for like silver lining or me as an AJ Brown fan, perhaps cope when I look at the profile. Yeah. One thing that is at least worth noting, and again, I think this kind of almost pushes back to the idea that, you know, he was just totally phoning it in throughout the course of the season. You can at least do some like, and I don't love to do this all the time, but I'm actually going to do it twice in this show. So, you know, what do I know? What do I know okay. here? If you split up the success rates, in his like first half, second half
Ooh.
Of the season, okay. because like I said, I think you could make an argument that he came in, as a guy that was like, he was obviously not healthy in the first part of the season. He had hamstring injuries in the offseason, and then he sat out a game right before the bye, in week 9. And then he was dealing with this hamstring injury. So weeks 1 to 7, the game sampled, 4 games sampled there, 69.3% success rate versus zone, 60.7% success rate versus man, and 50% success rate versus press. Yikes. Those are bottom of the league, disastrous type of numbers.
Right.
In the 4 games sampled after the bye, 77% success rate versus man, 76% success rate versus zone, and 75% success rate versus press. Those are obviously better results, but they even still represent some level of decline from obviously the peak of AJ Brown. So like that, my contention here is just that the decline has started for a 29-year-old wide receiver who's dealt with a ton of lower body injuries. Like, I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's just like, this is what happens at this point. The mm-hmm, question mm-hmm. to me, again, like I said, the decline has started, but if he can be that guy in the back half of the season, shoot, even over the course of the season, like these numbers, if he can be this guy again next year, that's still like a useful player for the Patriots. And if he's a guy in the back half of the season, that's actually a really, really good player for the New England Patriots this year. The question with these guys is always just, okay, is he going to be the exact same version he was last year? Or is there going to be a step back? And is the further step down right off the cliff? Or is it an aging gracefully situation? And I think that's where we can unpack like role and usage and things like that.
Okay. I want to say one thing in regards to him potentially phoning it in or whatever it might be, but bottom line is this. I've seen a lot of athletes, and regardless, this is so old school, but like there is a scene in a movie, what is it? Joy Luck Club, where one of the main characters, she's a high-level chess player.
Never seen it, as you might imagine, but
yeah, it's so old. First of all, it's so old, bro.
I haven't seen any movies either, so.
If it's not Star Wars, Matt's not in. True. But no, okay, so Joy Luck Club, the one of the main characters is a chess player as a kid. She's super duper high level, like crazy high level. And but her mom pressures her to keep playing. And at some point, she just gets sick of it. And, you know, and she says, you know what, man, I don't want to play. And her mom's like, all right, cool. Well, you're done. And so but then she tries to come back to it later and finds out she's just not that same player anymore. The problem is, I think when you I just think and I've seen this, I know that's a movie, but I've just seen this so often in sports that when guys let go of the rope, even for a moment, it is ridiculously hard to reclaim that spot, right? And so even if AJ Brown did phone it in, right, like my contention would be for most athletes not named Randy Moss, it is incredibly difficult to then go and turn it back on, to turn that switch back on, to be a true psychopath. Because let's be real, to be at the top of the game, to be at the top of the league, in a league full of just crazy athletes, in a league full of total psychopaths, you yourself have to be a psychopath. I truly, honestly believe that. And humans, I'm telling you, are just not wired to be that way. And so when you let go, when you turn that switch off, it is awfully difficult to turn that switch back on. And so I think regardless whether you're right or whether the general populace is right, it's going to be really hard for AJ Brown to get back to the levels that we saw from 2 years ago. I just think it's just so hard to do it. Okay, now that being said, I feel like we've done a lot of fear mongering here on this episode in regards to AJ. And the thing is, you talk about the silver lining there, you know, splitting up. I see another silver lining, and I know you see it too in New England, in that I think the role for him will be different. Actually, as a matter of fact, quite different than what we have seen the last couple of years there in Philadelphia. I'm encouraged by the fact that they already signed Romeo Dubs. They've got Kayshon Booty. I don't know if he ends up being there, but whatever. If he is there, but they definitely have Mac Hollins there as well. And I bring up these three players because these are three guys who can give you X receiver reps. And this will allow AJ Brown to move around the formation. If he doesn't play 30% in the slot in 2026, I honestly would be surprised.
Yeah, I like that call by you, and I agree with this. And like, this is something, now that we're done fear mongering here, like if we get reports or even like preseason usage, and this is why this is an evolving conversation, and why like I simply think it's important to say these things, because it's like, again, the risk, acknowledge the risks, but I'm not saying like, this is what I've learned over the course of doing this, is that you can't say, well, it'll be totally fine, or it'll be, he's toast. Like, that's just like not how this position works, because this is what history has taught us. I mean, even look at like Stephon Diggs, who this team had in the building last year.
Sure.
I pointed out after the 2023 season for Diggs in Buffalo that he had declined specifically as a perimeter receiver and a downfield option. He would need a role change in order to age gracefully, because he's an elite technician. That is what happened. He was a slot receiver Z based guy in Houston, and then he was a kind of a slot Z based guy, shorter average depth of target, shorter route tree with the Patriots last year.
Yep.
I don't know that AJ Brown can totally go that direction. Like, I don't think he's exactly like a Steph Diggs type. However, very similar situation here, where the routes that AJ Brown declined the most on, 9 post corner. I mean, those routes are a steep drop off from the player that he was previously. And because he was still the X receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles last year. And by the way, like, just one quick point, I know, and I'm not like some Kevin Petullo defender here, like the Kevin Petullo apologist, but
please don't.
Because it wasn't good last year. No, but I think there was like an insistence that, oh, like he had really changed AJ Brown's role and route. No, like he was generally in the same ballpark route tree wise of what we'd seen the last few years, which was a very straight line vertical route tree. A lot of nines, curls, some slants and stuff like that. But the routes that AJ Brown's still really good on, like his out route success rate is 84%. That's an incredible number. Dig route success rate, 77.3%. Really good number. Slant route success rate, just under 83%. Awesome number. Flat route success rate, James Coe's favorite route, 90% success rate. Like, these breaking routes, he's still really good on, and you can access those routes better if you lean into like a different role for him as kind of like a movement Z based option. An interesting point If you look back at the last time that AJ Brown and Mike Vrabel were together, the 2021 season with the Tennessee Titans, and look, maybe I'm reaching here, okay, because it's at least an interesting note. Remember, they traded for Julio Jones that year to the Tennessee Titans, and they basically just dropped him right in the X receiver spot and moved AJ Brown, who had consistently been an X receiver for this Tennessee Titans team. They moved him to the Z receiver position. So last time we saw Mike Vrabel and AJ Brown together, he took a career high 62% of his sampled snaps off the line of scrimmage, a career high 4.2% in the backfield, with 69% of his snaps outside. That is the second lowest rate of his career. And I agree with you. Like, I know Kayshon Booty's been like on the trade block and all that, and he's not been in camp. He's a little unhappy, I guess. Leave him in the sacrificial X receiver role. Romeo Doubs has been a really good X receiver for the Green Bay Packers the last few years. Like, why does he have to become the F Steph Diggs replacement? Like, let him, because Doubs is good in that role. We have proof of concept of that. And he's a second contract player. He's in the theoretical prime of his career. I do kind of hope that Kyle Williams gets a role change, but he was like the most sacrificial X receiver in the world last season. Probably one of the most sacrificial profiles I've ever charted, as we discussed on the show a few weeks ago. Have him do that stuff while you're moving AJ Brown around on these breaking routes. Like, I think if his route tree looks really different next year, you get a better, probably still diminished, but a better version of AJ Brown than, you know, the fall off the cliff version, which is, I would be concerned if he's the X receiver running a bunch of nine routes. You're not going to get the best version out of him at 29 years old. So my question, I guess, is just like, do the Patriots share that vision? Can Josh McDaniels pull this off?
Right.
I do kind of wish that the last thing we saw of the Patriots offense wasn't, you know, them getting shellacked. That makes me, you know, the whole deal. So again, I think that's the way that they can get the best out of Brown and be able to kind of, again, do the graceful aging thing, the Steph Diggs, Keenan Allen version, not the Allen Robinson, Dez Bryant version of receiver decline.
All right, there you go. Wow, what a breakdown of A.J. Brown. We didn't get to you on our first episode of the week, but we gave it to you right now. Let me tell you, what a breakdown, a complete breakdown here on A.J. Brown.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Drake London signs a big long-term deal, 4 years, $141 million extension, $100 million guaranteed. He's going to average $35.25 million per year. That makes him the third highest in terms of AAV behind JSN and Jamar Chase, who are both north of $40 million per year. Young guy, man, Drake London just turning 25 later this summer. I think he turns in about a month and a half or so. But where is Drake London? Now, again, financially, third highest AAV outside of JSN, Jamar Chase, two guys that have really put it on the stat sheet. Drake London hasn't put it on the stat sheet. Where is he in the pantheon of receivers right now? Is he on that level? I'm not trying to put him on that level of Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, but is he on that level right below that? Where does Matt Harmon have Drake London?
Oh, yeah. I think Drake London is a tier two wide receiver in the NFL. A guy who's competing to be a top. There's like a probably about 15 top 10 receivers in the NFL. So you want to put Drake London at 12 as opposed to 8. Go for it. But like, he's definitely of that quality. And I would disagree with you that he has not put it on the stat sheet. He was honestly on pace to have that. I don't know. It's on pace. But he was on pace to have that year last year. With, you know, Michael Penix playing up and down and then, you know, the whole deal. And he was still on pace to have that season. He just got hurt. He played in 12 games last year. He averaged 76.6 yards per game. Obviously, that's not Puka Nacua, JSN. Those guys were over 100. Jamar Chase, as we mentioned, was 88.3 yards per game. But that was still seventh at the wide receiver position. And he was a touchdown threat. He's always been a touchdown threat. You know, yards per route run last year, 2.6, one. Like, this guy was really, really good last year. And he was going to have that season had he stayed healthy. Like, he had put – if you just look at, like, individual production weeks too, like, he had some of the biggest wide receiver games, you know, in the NFL last year. So I would kind of disagree that he hasn't – put it together, I suppose. Like, I actually think he has put it together to the point that, like, obviously, again, I know this is, you know, we're not talking about like fantasy value and the whole deal there. We're talking about like how no. good is he in the NFL, like pantheon right. of wide receivers. But my point in saying that is that like some of the biggest wide receiver games last year, like, he's got several of them from like a fantasy standpoint. So, yeah, I would just say that I think Drake London, like, remember he had 34 points against the Patriots. That was fifth most among wide receiver production games last season. He had a monster game against the Bills, 24th most points that any receiver scored last year. Like, so he had some of these monster games. He's capable of doing that, taking games over. And there have been times he's disappeared, but that's not Drake London's fault. Like, that's the quarterback and the whole offensive environment. So, yeah, I don't think he's a tier one receiver. I don't think he's in the what JSN did last year, or, you know, Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson or whatever. But I do think he is, and probably not like top of tier two, but I think he is in tier two, in my opinion.
Okay. So, and just to kind of like set the table here. Okay. Like, I've got Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson as like your top two wide receivers in the NFL. Did JSN make that leap to join those two guys? And what about Puka Nacua?
I just think we're like splitting hairs when we start to get into like, are these guys, are Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson like truly above JSN or Puka Nacua, and like why would they be and stuff like that? I mean, obviously Justin Jefferson can have a down year production wise because like there's no such thing as quarterback proof, right? Like, it just it's not real. but I don't think he did anything wrong other than like a few random drops here and there, which is going to happen to basically every wide receiver at any point. So I would say, yeah, my first tier of wide receivers is probably Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I do think he joined, you know, that group last year. Okay. Honestly, I think like Nico Collins is in that group as well, but that's like my hotter take there. Maybe I think CeeDee Lamb is still like in that conversation too. So maybe there's like a blue tier and then a green tier, you know, in tier one, if we're like tiering the tiers, and then maybe that is like a tier one and tier two. I don't know. I have to look at that more like Look, Matt,
hey, listen, listen. This is, first of all, this is what reception perception does. It isolates the play, right? So like what I am saying, when I am saying that Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase are, in my opinion, the two best receivers in the NFL, it is because if you were to just, let's say you had one standard quarterback, you gave them league average, this amorphous league average quarterback, right? Who's producing, right? If you take all of these players and you just stick them with this same quarterback in the same offensive environment with the same offensive, like you just transplant them in, right? Like who's producing? Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase are producing. It doesn't matter who's throwing, or I don't want to say it doesn't matter who's throwing them rock, but they're going to produce to the maximum capabilities in their situation. Mm-hmm. When I look at JSN, when I look at Puka, I think they have certainly earned that consideration to be in that conversation. But, you know, again, JSN did it statistically anyways for 1 year. Puka Nacua, I think, is an incredibly impressive receiver. But again, Matt Stafford, Sean McVay, do other coaches get the most out of Puka Nacua? I'm not 100% sure. And yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown's in this conversation. CeeDee Lamb is in this conversation. Nico Collins is in this conversation. I just want to know, like, where does Drake London kind of sort of fit into that puzzle piece? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so if we're just doing, like, forget the tiers for a second. We're just doing, like, the top, the receiver rankings, and this is in no particular order. Like, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins. That's, so after that, that's when I would start, like, thinking about a guy like Drake London. So that's at receiver eight. That was kind of what I was saying there. And again, like, if you want to say other guy, like, Malik Nabers when he's healthy, which I mean, God damn, when is that going to be? Sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but like, God, when is that going to be? Is he going to be healthy? I don't know. You know, obviously that stinks, but
I love Garrett Wilson.
Love Garrett Wilson. Is he in this conversation? I would say he certainly could be. You know, shoot, a guy like George Pickens, obviously, if he's going to be the player that he was last year, like he's kind of barking on this door, you know,
and Chris Olave.
Oh, Chris Olave for sure. I mean, by the way, Chris Olave, hey, time to get your contract. Like, you just saw a Drake London. Like, you, I think Chris Olave has an easy argument to say, like, yeah, give me the Drake London deal. You know?
Yeah.
And I if I was the Saints, I would give Chris Olave that with zero hesitation, other than obviously the concussions. I guess you got to have some hesitation there. But yeah, I mean, I think I think these are the guys. So,
okay.
Who am I taking? Obviously, prior to this season, I would say AJ Brown is for sure in the top five or top three, right? But now I'm not 100% sure. Like these are the guys.
I just think it's important, Matt, because I know that you are you're entrenched. Obviously, you know everything about the wide receivers. There's nobody who knows more about wide receivers in the professional space than you. Maybe there's some coaches and stuff out there, but I'm
there's definitely a lot of coaches that know more about wide receivers than me, but that's fine.
No. Again, I'm just saying in the professional space, you're top of the line. You're Justin Jefferson. Okay.
I appreciate that. But you know, whatever. There's at least nobody who thinks about it more than me. Like I was,
that's for sure. That is for sure.
I was literally thinking about like never mind. It's just like randomly the other day, I was just like lost in a thought about some receiver thing for 20 minutes and
it's amazing.
Like, get a life.
Incredible. But that being said, and you have internalized that Drake London is this great player. There's a lot of people listening to the show that don't know that Drake London is that level of player because, again, fantasy football or stats or whatever it might be. Look, he cracked 1,000 yards just one time in four seasons. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I hear you.
When that happens, the general populace does not consider you to be a quote unquote great player. You know what I mean? So again, that's why I'm kind of sort of bringing this up because I think there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast. We got a lot of listeners, man. I think there's a lot of listeners who might not realize that Drake London is that level of dog that you're mentioning here.
That's what I'm here to do. That's whether I know more than people or whatever, this is why I dedicated so much time to doing this because I believe that receivers, like judging them just off production, is you're missing the forest for the trees, big time, time. 100%. And a guy like Drake London's the proof of concept of that. Like, you're telling me you drop Drake London on the Los Angeles Rams offense or the Detroit Lions offense, and I'm that I don't say that for one bit to disrespect the players that are on that roster, like Puka Nacua or Amon Ross St. Brown, that their production is, you know, fake. No, like those guys earn what they get, 100%. Those guys are great players, but you're telling me like, this is what's so like, this is so, it's it, honestly, like, this could drive me crazy and I'm going to try not to. There's honestly, James, about like 6 or 7 things going on right now, receiver narrative wise, that like are driving me crazy.
Yeah.
It was some of the role stuff that the Cardinals were talking about yesterday and the way people were reacting to it. I was getting so upset about it that I was like, oh my God, I really need to go on this vacation. Like, I so badly need to.
You need to get offline, baby. Let's go.
I got it. Yeah. And I just need to have better social media habits, honestly, is actually what it is. But that's a whole separate conversation for another day. Anyway, so there's about 6 or 7 things in wide receiver world that are driving me crazy right now. But like this whole thing like constantly drives me crazy. Do the people out there like look at Drake London stats, do they honestly think that has nothing to do with the surroundings? Do they honestly think that Drake London would produce the same exact like yardage and catches and touchdowns and all that shit if you dropped him on any of those two other offenses that I just said? I think if you do, you should be like committed to an redoing your brain. Okay, like that's nuts. All right, so I'm just getting fired up about this, but my point, even if you are judging off of production, Drake London last year, it depends on where you look, but was 7th in the NFL in yards per out run, which does control for like the offensive environment in a little bit. He was targeted on 28.7% of his routes, which is an incredibly high number. These are the receivers who averaged more than 70 yards per game last season at the position. Puka Nacua, JSN, Ja'Marr Chase, George Pickens, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Drake London, 7th, Nico Collins, Chris Olave, Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers. I mean, there's not a multiverse available in any Marvel world that I'm taking Rashee Rice over Drake London.
Drake London,
Zay Flowers, you know, I very, very different players. I would prefer Drake London. Same. Chris Olave and Drake London, pretty close. I like Nico Collins better than Drake London. But still, like, yeah, that's in the – even production-wise, like, he is definitely a top
– there you go.
10 receiver. I've gotten way too fired up about this. And
we I love to, it.
It's too much. Way too much. I knew I needed to go on a vacation before this. And now I know I definitely need to. Like, I love the love film and love charting routes, but I'm getting gassed up about this like production thing. It's crazy to me. I don't know.
Oh, he's gassed.
Also,
up.
By the way, like, it's just contracts. Like, this is how this works. Like, you're just paid at the near top of level if you're a really, really good player. Nobody's saying, jeez. All right, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on. Hey, listen, we don't have a ton of time here. I don't want to gloss over these two players. So I want you to pick one, man. Like, should we talk about Xavier Worthy? Should we talk about Romo Dunze?
Oh, my God. Let's talk about Xavier Worthy. Jeez. Okay.
You're going to get too gassed up on Rome?
I was going to say, the Rome thing is going to make me mad, too. Perfect. I'm gonna get mad about that. I used to know I could talk about Odunze for 30 minutes, and
you could.
I don't got 30 minutes on Xavier Worthy.
Golly, here we go. Look, Xavier Worthy. I think the big question in Kansas City is, can this man take a year 3 leap? Can he be and forget about a leap, because my God, he just hasn't really done all that much in the NFL, if we're being real here. But I just want to know, do you think that he can be a true number one receiver for Kansas City, maybe perhaps supplanting somebody like Rashee Rice, who, again, is rehabbing in jail? Okay, so when you look at what Kansas City has done to their offense, I got to be honest with you, it doesn't make sense. Like, what is Veach and Andy, what are these guys doing? Like, this... the offense was the problem last year, and now what you've got is a tight end in Travis Kelce who's got 1 foot out the door. This guy might make more appearances on a Taylor Swift concert than in a football field in future years here. You've got a quarterback who is coming off of a major injury, and yet, Matt, they don't address the offense at all in the draft until day 3. That is... This is insane to me. I don't understand the team build that they've got in Kansas City. That's why I look at Xavier Worthy and say, okay, does Andy Reid or does Brett Veach or does Kansas City in general look at Xavier Worthy and say, this guy can make the leap? Do you think that Xavier Worthy can be a 1A or a 1B for Kansas City's passing attack?
Well, for Kansas City's passing attack, he better be up that high on like the pecking order. I will say this. I'm just somebody that's always been a little bit lower than consensus on Xavier Worthy as like a round one receiver and like future number one. I don't buy that he has that in his range of outcomes. I didn't buy that as a prospect. I had him ranked as like a high second round pick, and I would have been fine if you took a chance on him as a role player there. But I do think like not just because of his physical dimensions, which is outlier small size, obviously, for Xavier Worthy. First percentile, according to Mock Draftable, weight at 5'11", 165 pounds when he came into the NFL draft. And he is a small player. Like that means he's going to be hyper specific. And I don't think, you know, unlike a guy like Tank Dell, who, you know, has obviously been super banged up, and I don't even know if we'll ever see this player again. But like, I thought he had more in his rookie year profile, showed a lot more like skills to work around the size, if that makes sense. But like Worthy, the size shows up in all the important metrics. He goes down on first contact all the time. He's never been a good press beater. Like all the things that you think about like a smaller receiver, he actually has those in his game. The thing is, though, I think also I want to say that, but also I think it's important to say, as somebody that has been admittedly lower than consensus on Xavier Worthy, if I'm going to sit here and say like, well, I'm willing to give, you know, Adunze or Brian Thomas Jr. or Marvin Harrison Jr., Ricky Pearsall, all these guys, like, not a mulligan, but want to constantly bring up the context that these guys weren't healthy last year, certainly to varying degrees throughout the course of the season, if not the entire season, for a guy like Brian Thomas Jr. I also think we have to be intellectually honest and say that about Xavier Worthy, who in week one, after three snaps, was ran into, depending on whose fault you think it is, mesh concept that they were running. He ran into his teammate Travis Kelce, who, if the listed weights are to be believed on the Chiefs roster, which we all know that listed weights in the NFL are not all true consistently. By the way, no human being. I'm 3 pounds lighter. I weigh myself pretty much every day. I'm three pounds lighter today than I was yesterday. Just for context. So I don't know that, you know, Travis Kelce's been the same weight his entire career. I don't think Xavier Worthy's been the same way his entire career. It's just that's not how human beings work. Anyways, that's a whole nother rant I could do while we're ranting. I need to go outside. If the listed weights are to be believed, Travis Kelce outweighs Xavier Worthy by 85 pounds.
Wow.
He had separated his shoulder. He actually has a dislocated right shoulder, torn labrum. That's ultimately what the injury was. Xavier Worthy is still right now at OTAs in a non-contact jersey, recovered because he never fully. I mean, he was back so fast. Like again, yeah, I think it would be disingenuous to not admit that Worthy probably was not his best self at any point last year. So while I don't know that I think he can be like a number one receiver or like a high volume guy, I've just never really seen that skill set out of him. I think the player that we got last year was probably even more diminished than he should be. However, to your question about like the rest of the receiver room and what the Chiefs have been doing here, maybe I should have picked it. I could talk about this one for 100 years too. It's just a weird receiver room, man. And even Worthy's usage last year, I think, sort of points to that.
There's not really, and we've said this for many years now, they don't have a guy that can play X receiver, right? Like,
no.
They got a lot of guys that can play underneath. They got a lot of guys that can play off the ball. They got a lot of guys that can play in the slot. Where's a guy that can beat man coverage? Where's a guy on 3rd and 8, you need one, you're going to that guy. Where's that guy?
Yeah.
I don't see one.
Cyrus Allen, the GOAT, 5th round pick. I said this after he was drafted by the Chiefs. I'm like, you get a couple drinks in me, I could tell you that's their best man coverage beating receiver. Cause Rashee Rice is like a pure Juju Smith-Schuster style zone beater. Xavier Worthy, even like in his, you know, better samples, was below average against man coverage in his rookie season and below, like, just kind of from a man coverage standpoint as a prospect. But to your point, James, like, they have a lot of guys that I would say need what I would call roll catering. And they roll cater to Rashee Rice a ton, and they should, because in his in the context of his role, he is really, really, really good. Now, there are just things that he can't do, and they don't ask him to do that. So that's fine. But you are roll catering to this guy. To some degree, you're also roll catering to Travis Kelce at this point, too, because he's you know, old and obviously is a diminished version of himself, of course. You know, it diminishing every day, as we all are. Not me. I'm actually I plan to live to 150, but that's a separate conversation. Anyways, but Xavier Worthy, so because of that, like, you just can't roll cater to three guys. Like, that's it's just not possible. So Worthy took 70.9% of his sample snaps outside in 2025. His rate of slot and backfield snaps dipped from 32.5% and 9.8% in his rookie season to 24% and 4.6% respectively. His allotment of work on the ball went up from 43% to 53%. Like, again, I didn't hate his prospect profile necessarily. I just thought it was very mixed. But that's just usage that, like, he should never have. He should never be above the ball. He should never be on the ball for more than 50% of his snaps. He should never be an outside receiver at the highest rate on the roster, essentially. Like, he's their most outside guy. Like, his traits, the skill set, the dimensions, the whole deal, like, that doesn't it certainly does not point to an outside, you know, on-ball receiver. But I think the question here, James, is, one, is that going to change? Is it possibly going to change? And two, was it more like that because of the guys that were on the team with him? Or was it like, hey, we know he's not 100%? And Reed has said he doesn't think he was ever really 100% last year. He thinks the injury took a toll on him. So they just kind of made him like an outside sacrificial vertical option last year, which I think is possible, but I don't know.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy car online. Really?
Speed for days, as we know, with Xavier Worthy, yet from a charting perspective, doesn't consistently separate on any downfield routes. I would say he was about league average in regards to the nine route at 55% success rate, but just 58% on the corner, 51% on the post. That's not good at all. But again, it's interesting. This is a player that, because I think of his size and technique, I just don't think he doesn't fight your hands as much as you would like for a guy who's 165 pounds, right? Like, he's got a ton of speed, as we know, but he just, at the line of scrimmage, not great at fighting off defenders. And I think that's obviously actualized in his press scores, where he is posting a 20th percentile score against press.
Yeah, 56% this year, 54% his rookie year. So basically same ballpark. The man coverage score was definitely down 58% from 60% his rookie year, which again is still, like, even the rookie year is 20th percentile. Like, there's a lot more to separating than just speed, and there's a lot more to winning down the field than speed. In fact, I think you could argue that, like, speed is a little bit overrated. It helps, but it's almost more like, I don't want to say icing on the cake, you know, because you can't really have a good cake without icing. right? I don't know. You're a baker, right, James? So you tell me if I'm getting my baking analogies correct.
Yeah,
but,
there you go.
You're not exactly like what icing on the cake, but it's like I'm not a big bacon on burgers type guy. I think it's like needless. But you know, it's like, okay, if you are, you're gonna eat a burger without bacon, but maybe you see the bacon on it, you're like, ooh, that's kind of nice. That's kind of how I would think about speed for a receiver. Like if we're talking about downfield stuff, I don't need it. It's not really necessary, but it's there. Okay, cool. Like it's a nice little addition, right? I don't know if that analogy made sense. But the big decline for Worthy was the, as a rookie, 80.1% success rate versus zone. This past season, 75%, which is a 24th percentile mark. Right. We obviously like a movement type receiver for like what Worthy should be to be in that 80% ballpark against zone coverage. That was the big decline, you know, this past year for Worthy. And I think the route tree expresses that well for some of the stuff. But again, is some of that because he's running more downfield routes? I don't know. Like he's really good on a certain handful of routes, especially outbreakers, but you can run outbreakers a lot better when you're not just like the farthest perimeter guy on the boundary as well. So a lot to consider for Xavier Worthy, and just a guy that I almost feel is we're not going to see the best of, and like with him and Rice on the roster together, like, and even still, I think Worthy is probably more of a splash player than a consistent, high volume guy.
Yeah.
Regardless of you know how healthy he is, this profile versus the rookie profile, this I kind of feel the same way. But it's to me, like, I just think without the role catering that you need for a guy like this, you're not going to see. I mean, the best stretch of Xavier Worthy's career from a production standpoint has come when Rashee Rice has not been on the field. And I don't think that means that he was like this is the stuff that drives me crazy. Like, oh, this role, like Rashee Rice, he wasn't playing in the Rashee Rice role. He was just getting more role catering because Rashee Rice wasn't there, but he was running a very different route tree with a lot of these like quick outbreakers that I mentioned, and is good against man coverage on those quick outbreakers. So it's a little difficult, I think, for Worthy to find the best version of himself as long as Rice is on the roster. How long is Rice going to be on this roster when he is currently rehabbing an injury in jail? That's obviously a separate question.
Oh my God. What? It's just, to me, this season is lining up to be an unmitigated disaster offensively for Kansas City. Defensively, maybe they'll be fine. In the run game, maybe they'll be fine. You know, they bring back Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
They obviously invested in Kenneth Walker right. too. And I love Emmett Johnson too. It feels like their running back room is good. It's set, but the passing attack, it feels like it's going to be yet another year. So like third year in a row, fourth year in a row where the passing attack is just not at where it needs to be. It really feels like we're heading trending that way in 2026.
I agree with you. And I just think like it's this whole, the receiver thing is kind of not the disease. It's just a symptom of the disease. And that I just kind of think they need new ideas in the passing game in Kansas City. And like I said, and I say all the time, Andy Reid knows more about football than I'll learn in the next five. If I'm going to live to 150, like I still won't know about as much about football as Andy Reid knows about football, you know, 20 years ago. Okay. Like he's way smarter about stuff than I am, but
he's going to forget. He's going to forget more about football than I'm going to learn, you know? Yeah,
totally. Yes. Even if again, I live to 150, and hopefully James, you and I are still doing this podcast when I'm 150 or, you know, whether we get the co, cause you're much older than I am. So we might have to get the co AI bot. Oh, I don't know, God. In here to host the show with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll just have, yeah, the AI bot. We'll just jump right in. Lord knows I don't want to be hosting this show when I'm 160 years old. What's wrong with you?
You're not, what are you? You're not 10 years. You're like 25 years older than me, I think.
25.
I'm just kidding.
Good Lord.
Anyways, good but, Lord. Point. Yeah. I hope neither one of us are hosting this bot at that point.
Yeah.
But my point here is I just think like the ideas in Kansas City's passing game, like even when I'm watching, it's a player acquisition idea, which I do think the archetype of receivers that they chase, it just isn't like my, it's just not the flavor of where the league is going right now. It is very like what Reed has been kind of chasing for a long, long time now. Even Cyrus Allen, who I really like, is still like a small, twitchy, explosive receiver, you know? And I like I said, I like Cyrus Allen. I thought it was a great pick in the third day of the NFL draft. And I do think he can maybe potentially play a role for this team. We'll see.
I've been saying this for years in regards to Andy Reid's offense. It's plays and players, and it's not really like a system, you know, like on a down by down basis. I know that he's got a system in place, but it just feels like he features plays and he features players. And it works great when you've got a guy like Pat Mahomes able to rip it back there, crank it. But I just wonder, you know, again, especially in today's NFL, can we just get like a base, you know, like what is the base here? Like, you know what you're getting with McVay and Shanahan, right? Like you're going to get some, you're going to get play action. You're going to get a bunch of inbreakers. Okay. That's their offense. Like, okay. Same thing with Ben Johnson. You're going to get inbreakers with Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen. Okay, cool. And all these guys are doing really well because the base defenses right now are cover two. And generally when you attack that intermediate middle of the field, that's generally where, you know, cover two is pretty weak, you know? So I just, again, Andy Reid to me features players just like he has featured Rashee Rice, just like he has featured Travis Kelce. I struggle with, okay, like what's his like bread and butter? What's the bread and butter for an Andy Reid offense? I struggle with that.
You know, and honestly, as you're saying that, I was thinking this when I was charting Worthy. Remember how when Mike McCarthy was with the Packers, and this extended into his Cowboys days too, the internet would just flame him for how much like slant flat route combinations that he would run.
Bunch of hitches and curls,
Well, especially just like slant flat, like those and get it out quick, because that's like pretty classic West Coast stuff.
West Coast, for sure.
Dude, you see a ton of that with the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's just quick, you know, it's Worthy doing the quick out and Rice doing the quick in. And they get that ball out so fast. And yeah, if Rice breaks a tackle, cool. But that's it. And like that's their kind of way that they've in a way like rewired Patrick Mahomes after the cover two sort of fiasco just pushed their offense down for a minute. I think that was back in what, 2019-ish, maybe. I don't know. The Chiefs have been doing a while. It's been a minute. Probably more like 2020, 2021. Anyways, point being, that was their answer, was like, we're going to do more quick game. And like, yeah, they got Rashee Rice through the yards after catch stuff, which was great. But they don't have that guy that just like rocket this thing over the middle of the field, like deep drop backs with Mahomes. They don't have that guy right now. They don't have like a receiver. I mean, they have Rice, but he's just not like the man beater to get it done on like digs from the perimeter.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing, like, and this is something that just, I think really matters for a guy like Rice, whose production is really good, but like his weaknesses being in it, not being able to win downfield and not being able to beat man coverage. Those are the biggest problems in the offense right now. And that's not necessarily like, that's not Rashee Rice's fault. It's the problem is that like, that's not what Xavier Worthy does either. Like beating man coverage and consistently winning down the football field outside of some splash plays, you know, and obviously Mahomes needs to hit some of those plays sometimes too. There's no question. Like every Worthy bro is going to light me up here and be like, well, look at all these misses. And I would agree with you. There's a lot of brutal misses.
I agree.
But that's kind of the point though. Like I think Worthy should be like a splash play guy, not a consistent high volume. Like, yeah, his success rates on downfield routes aren't great. They're not 0%. Like there are plays left on the field by the quarterback as well. There would be like completely disingenuous to not acknowledge that. But yeah, I just think it's funny that Mike McCarthy, and I'm not some McCarthy bro either, like sign up for Reception Perception, the podcast. We're going to defend Kevin Petullo and talk about how awesome Mike McCarthy's offense is. But anyways, but I think that like it's just funny. It was like a meme for years, like slant flat, slant flat. I see a ton of that in the Kansas City Chiefs offense right now. And that's just like not the most inspiring way to beat some of these modern defenses at this point.
No, it is not. It is not. Why can't Mike Evans have finally reunited with Kansas City? I don't know. Anyways,
you know what they should have done too, by the way? They should have gotten like I can't believe that the entire NFL went on this like run on blocking inline tight ends on the second day of the NFL draft. I can't believe the Chiefs weren't one of those teams. Like, I think their run game can be much better this year with Kenneth Walker than the backs that they had last year, certainly from an explosiveness standpoint, and your boy Emmett Johnson. But man, like a real blocking tight end, a real inline, like gritty dude would have been a nice touch here. That's not Kelce at this point, and Noah Gray has not really ever been that guy either.
No.
Yeah, that's sort of where I look at some of those things, and I think the run game being better can certainly help this offense, but I don't know that I'm going to be bold enough as you to say like it could be an unmitigated disaster this year. But I do wonder if they've just like kind of not kept up with some of the trends of the league right now, which is, I think, a little concerning for me.
It is definitely concerning. And yeah, with Mahomes coming back from a major injury, yeah, that's the big reason why I'm saying this is going to be an unmitigated. Right. It could be an unmitigated disaster there in Kansas City. Man, if they just start squatting down like they have been and just take away the run game, what else you got? you don't got much, man. You don't got much. That's what would make me very concerned if I was a Kansas City fan. And I know we've got a lot of Kansas City fans who listen to the show. Anyways, there you go. That's the show. Wow, what a breakdown on AJ Brown. A big time rant on Drake London and stuff like that. Xavier Worthy. I hope there's not a lot of Xavier Worthy like hopefuls listening to the show, because that didn't sound too encouraging in regards to Xavier. But that's okay. Anyway,
it's not really his fault. So let me say
we're hoping for the best for Kansas City. Yeah. Listen, the NFL is better. The NFL is always more fun when Kansas City is good. I don't care what anyone says.
I would like them to be not just good record wise and be in big games. I would like them to be a more fun offense to watch.
100%.
That's where I'm at. I'm not. I think the Chiefs have won and been in plenty of big games, and I didn't mind them not being part of our postseason lives last year. Because I want them to be better offensively. Like, I want better for their offense, not just like grit out games, but which we saw last season didn't work for them. So we'll see.
It's been like that for the past two seasons, for goodness sakes. Anyways, all right, there you go. That's the show. We appreciate everyone out there. If you guys would like and subscribe, that would be wonderful. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you, but remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. All right, peace.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?